Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet, the last line. The Gemara here is discussing the positions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmo as to whether you can get Malkot for something that has a punishment of Chiyuv Mitat Beitin or Chiyuv Karet. For Rabbi Akiva, he says that you only get Malkot when something has a Chiyuv Karet, not when something has a Chiyuv Mitat Beitin. The way that he expressed it in the Braita that we saw was the reason is because by karet you can do tshuva, and mochtin lo min hashamayim, then of course Baruch Hu can forgive you. Whereas by chiyuv mitat beitin, even if you do tshuva, it doesn't matter. Beitin is enjoined to punish you and to give you that death penalty. So irrespective of what you do, then you're going to get the death penalty. Whereas by karet, karet is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you do tshuva, then you may be able to stave off the karet, and therefore malkot might be appropriate. And Rabbi Akiva himself says, "Kedei rishato, you can't get two punishments." So that's the reason behind his shita. We can't give you two punishments. So either it's going to be mita or malkot. In the case of mita, you're for sure going to get mita because Beit Din has to execute on that. And then when it comes to karet, because they could be mochel you, then you may not get karet, so therefore we give you malkot. The Gemara challenged that and said, well, he hasn't done tshuva yet. Why should that be the answer? As of right now, he's chayav karet. And how could you give him a kol? Because there's a possibility he's going to get karet. From that, it led into a number of explanations for Rabbi Akiva's shita. And now we're up to the shita Ravina. Ravina amar olam ki damrinan miikara. We're going back to the original thought process, which is what I just described here. The fact that you can do tshuva means that you can get malkot by karet. She'im asu tshuva, beitin shel mala mochlinen. Maya Mart, what was your criticism of that position? Halo of a tshuva. He hasn't done tshuva yet, so how could you give him malkot now? That would be de rishato v'lo mishem shte rishayot. That'd be punishing him twice. It says, lo psika milta the karet. The answer is that karet is not definitive. In a case where you have a punishment that you'll know you'll get for sure, over there we can invoke de rishato to say get one punishment and not both punishments. Over here we're not certain you're going to get the karet. Since it's not definitive that you're going to get the karet, we give you the malkot, because that's something we know for sure we can give you. And then karet, you'll deal with. If you do tshuva, no karet. If you don't do tshuva, you'll get karet. But that's bashamayim, and it's also something that's in your hands to do tshuva or not. But as far as we're concerned, we can give you the malkot, because that's the only rishon we know for sure is going to be given over here. And that's the way the Ravina deals with Rabbi Akiva Shita. All right. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, chayevei kretot bichlal hayu. When it comes to all the chayavei kretot, they're all included. The lama yatzat karet ba'achuto, why did it leave, or why was it pulled out by achuto? Laduno bikaret velo bimalkot. So that is to give it the din of karet and not malkot. So this is a third opinion which we saw yesterday. The opinion of Rabbi Yishmael says you get malkot even for chiyuvei mitat beitin and for karet. You have Rabbi Akiva who says that you only get chiyuvei malkot for chiyuvei karet, not for chiyuvei mitot beitin. And we just gave the last of the reasons why Rabbi Akiva said that. We saw the other reasons yesterday. Now we're up to Rabbi Yitzchak's position, which is that when it comes to even karet, there is no malkot. So Rabbi Yitzchak, you don't get malkot. Not for karet and not for chiyuvei mitot beitin. He brings his reasoning, which is by achuto, there is an additional karet that is mentioned there. And he says, why does it mention karet in particular? To teach you that you don't get malkot. Arayot that are mentioned in Parshat Achrimot and Parshat Kiddushim, over there, there's a general statement that kol ha'aseh eileh, anybody who gets involved in any of these arayot will be subject to karet. So now you have one of them, which is achuto, which has specifically the punishment of karet associated with it, which is ish asher yikach et achuto bat aviv ubatimo v'ra'et ervata, v'itireh et ervato chesed hu, v'nichritu le'enei b'nei amam, ervat achuto gila, avono isa. So there it mentions karet, even though there's a general statement about all the arayot, that they are subject to karet. So he wants to know, why is it that it delineated it separately? And here we're going to invoke the principle of Rabbi Yishmael, called the Varshia Bichlau, v'yatza min haklau, lo lelameir atzmo yatza, ala lelameir al haklau, kolo yatza. When something leaves the principle, the general principle, it doesn't come just to teach about itself, it comes to teach you something about the principle in general. So now we had karet that affected everything. All of a sudden, achuto has its own karet. Rabbi Yitzchok says, why did it specify karet there? To tell you, karet exclusively. Karet, yes. Malkot, no. But it won't only teach you about achuto, it will teach you about all karetot. That whenever you have a field karet, there will be no malkot. Now the Gemara asks, v'rabbonon, karet b'achuto, lamali. What are the rabbonon? Now the rabbonon over here are Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, who argue on Rabbi Yitzchok and say you do get malkot by a chiyub karet. What do they say about this extraneous karet that is written by achuto? They need it lechalek, in order to divide up the arayot, which means that if you were behelam echad, which is important here, in one forgetting, were able to violate multiple arayot, how many chiyuve karet would you get in that situation? There's only one chiyuv karet that's written by all the arayot. So if I didn't have something that told me what's called lechalek, to divide it up, I would assume that that one karet would be applicable no matter how many violations you had in that situation. So if the person in one forgetting happened to violate multiple arayot with different women, and then he remembered about the din, or he was taught about the din, so now that would all be in one forgetting, maybe he would only get one karet for that. The answer is that achuto is lechalek. Achuto comes to teach you that every one of the arayot gets karet independently. That means if you're in violation of multiple arayot, you will get multiple karetot. You will be subject to karet multiple times. Now, the truth is, it's less impactful in terms of karet because that's in a shemaim. I don't know what it means to have one or two or three karetot. But it is meaningful in terms of shogeg. If a person has to be shogeg, then they have to bring multiple korbanei chataot, and that is relevant, because then each one is considered to be independent. So this we have by many issues, for instance, by Shabbat. By Shabbat, we know that the 39 melachot are incorporated under lo taseh kol melacha, or lo tasu kol melacha, that there are restrictions against doing melacha. We define the word melacha to mean the 39 melachot. How do we know that if a person violates multiple melachot in one forgetting, that he is chayav for each melacha separately? That's because we have lo tavaruesh b'chol mosh motechem. It's actually machloket tanaim about this. But assuming that that's yetzalah, is to teach you the chaleik, teaches that every one of the malachot is independent. And each one is a separate violation that you will get punished for. We don't have that by Yom Tov. By Yom Tov, that would not be the case. If you do multiple malachot on Yom Tov, there is no chiluk malachot by Yom Tov, and therefore you only be chayab once for violating multiple malachot. So what the Chachamim say is that the purpose of karet b'achoto is to teach you. Just like by achoto, there's a separate karet. That means for each one of the arayot, there is a separate karet. Okay, the Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Shimasan, Kulan, Be'elam, Echad. If you do all of them in one forgetting, Chayav, Akol, Achat, V'achat. You'll be Chayav for each one of the arayot. Even though there's only one karet mentioned there, nevertheless, you'll be Chayav for each one of them separately because of the fact that Achuto is delineated separately from all the other arayot. V'Rabbi Yitzchak, the Chalek, Minole. Rabbi Yitzchak needs that same limud. Nafkale, Melisha, Binidat, Tumata. He learns that from there, the Chayev, will call Isha, Visha. To teach you that, you are Chayev on each woman, which is also by Nida. In Parshat Achrimot, it says, Velisha, Binidat, Tumata, Loti, Krav, the Galot, Ervata. The word Isha is extraneous. It could have just said, El Nida Bitumata Lotikrav Lagavoterba. Why does it mention Isha? Tells you that on every woman that you have Bi'ah with when she is in Nida, you'll be Chayav separately. So Rabbanon Nami Tibikle Meha. Why don't the Rabbanon use that the Chaleik? Enoch Hanami. You're right. They do use that the Chaleik. So now the Gemara says the Rabbanon changed their mind with regards to this. It's not really Rabbanon. It's the Gemara trying to figure out how they use these psukim. And now the Gemara agrees, the chalek b'arayot, you can learn out from Elisha b'inidat tumata. But then, v'ele karet achoto, lomali. Why do you need karet by achoto? L'chaivo al achoto, v'al achot aviv, v'al achot imo. To tell you that you're chayav for sister, your aunt through your father, and your aunt through your mother. Pshita. What's the question here? Hare gufim mechulakim. They are three independent individuals. And there are three different isurim. So if you, by nida, say that multiple women will result in multiple punishments, that means for the same infraction, nida, When you have separate women that you violate with, each one of them is considered to be a separate violation, then certainly in this case, where you're dealing with three different women with three different violations, one's achuto, one's achotimo, one's achotaviv, there certainly you would get punished for each one independently. Why would you think otherwise? So the Gemara says, I don't need something to teach me that. That's a derivative of Elisha b'nina tumata lo tikrav l'galot arvata. Ella, it's a situation in which chayavo achoto shehi achotaviv shehi achotimo. It's one woman who is his sister and his aunt through his father and his aunt through his mother. She is one goof, one woman with three different restrictions associated with her. This individual sleeps with this woman, he will violate three restrictions. That you can't learn from Nida. All Nida taught you was that if you have different women, then you're chayav on each one of those women separately. Over here, it's one woman with three shemot, three surim associated with her. How do I know that each isur by itself is a separate violation? And that is what we call guf achat. Before, we dealt with lechalek with gufim mechulakim, separate individuals where the isur is. Now we have one person with three different usurim associated with her, and that is what we use karet achoto to teach you. Mar says, "Veicha mishkachala." How do you ever have a case like that? Berishia bar rishia. The Gemara gives one case. The Rishonim point out other nuanced cases, but basically you're going to have someone who's a rasha that has to be someone who has problematic relationships multiple times. The first of which is he sleeps with his mother. And from that, they produce daughters. These daughters that he has through his mother are both his daughters and his sisters. If he sleeps with one of those women, the other daughter that was born of that illicit relationship of this individual with his mother, and then has a child, that child is his son. That son that comes to sleep with his mother's sister, the other daughter that was born of that illicit relationship of this individual with his mother will have multiple isurim, one of which is achoto, but not only would she be his sister, she would also be his mother's sister and his father's sister. So that's what we were looking for. We're looking at a case where someone has a son, and that son would then have a sister, plus she would be his aunt through his mother and aunt through his father because of these two violations. That's what they say here, Risha by Rishia. So here, the Gemara notes that it's only going to happen in a case where the person is a terrible person, where he slept with his mother, then he slept with that child born of that wedlock, and also had son, and other sleeps with that daughter that's born of that first illicit relationship, then that woman, both his sister, his aunt through his mother, and his aunt through his father, and now you have three violations. But what they're telling you is less important about this case, but more important about other cases where you have multiple violations on a single woman. Then in that situation, you will be punished multiple times. I mean, you'll be subject to all those yisurim, even though it's guf achat. V'Rabbi Yitzchak Haman Alei. How does Rabbi Yitzchak know about that? Nafkalei mikal v'chomer. He learns it out of a kal v'chomer. Tetanyo, Amar Rabbi Akiva, she'alti Rabban Gamliel Rabbi Yoshua, be'itliz shel imum. I was shopping in the butcher marketplace, the meat marketplace, and I bumped into Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Shachuli kach beima, the mishteh b'nosha Rabbi Gamliel. They were purchasing an animal, which was going to be the animal for the wedding feast. So they were out getting their provisions for the wedding. Just interesting to note over here that the conversation that took place in the butcher shuk, or the meat shuk, it tells you about the idea that you can speak about Talmud Torah anywhere, that it's not that there's some limitation that you can only speak about Torah in the Beit Midrash. But even when you're going about doing your daily life, people can be asuk b'Torah, thinking about Torah, engaged in Torah. In addition, it shows you that even when they went to do mundane matters, that they were asuk b'Torah. So it teaches you both of these items, both that in a mundane activities, one can be engaged in Torah, but also that even when you are somewhere that's not the Beit Midrash, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not a place of Torah. You can make it into a place of Torah by speaking in Torah. That's a nice thing to learn as an aside from this whole conversation between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel. Abal achoto, sheachot aviv, sheachot imo. Exactly this question. Someone who sleeps with a sister is also his aunt through his mother and his father. Mao, what's the din? Eino chayav al kulan el achat. There's only one violation over here. Or there are multiple violations over here. Amrulo zulo shamanu. We don't know about this. Aval shamanu habal chamesh nashim nidot be'elam echad shechayav al kol achad ve'achad. If he sleeps with five different women who are nidot in one forgetting, then you're chayav in all of them. V'nirim dvarim kal v'chomer. And we would think that that would be a logical extension of that. Ma nida shishem echad chayav al kol achad ve'achad. By nida, where it's one violation, nida, and yet you're chayav each time. Here where it's three different violations, and certainly you should be chayav for each one of them. Why did the Rabbanon not accept that kal v'chomer? Which is interesting over here, because the Rabbanon, we said over here, are Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, who argue on Rabbi Yitzchak. And over here, Rabbi Akiva was one of the individuals in this incident, and they shook. He's the one who asked Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua about this, and they gave him this answer. Seems from that he did not accept their answer for the following reason, which is, Vida kavachomer priko. It's a kavachomer, a logical argument that does not hold water. That is, mali dida, shekein gufim iluchulakim. Over there, when you have separate nidot, that is five different women. It's not just one violation on one woman, it's five different women. So now all of a sudden you're going to say there's one woman with three violations, three shemot associated with her, you can't make a kavachomer. You could argue that when you have separate women, there's separate violations. But with one woman, even with multiple yisurim associated with her, there'd be only one violation. And that's a pretty strong refutation of this kavachomer. And Rabbi Yitzchak would have the same problem. Ella, so what does Rabbi Yitzchak do? Nafkele me'achoto de seifa. He learns that of the word achoto, which is in the seifa, because that achoto is extraneous. Since that achoto is extraneous, he says, I learned out from that, the chiluk, which we're looking for, even when it's one person, would be mechalek the kretot. We'll learn it out from the achoto b'seifa, which is, in Parshat Kiddushim, it says, ish asher yikach et achoto bat aviv, o bat imo, person who has a relationship with a sister, who is a sister through the father, or his sister through the mother. That achoto is extraneous. They already told you who the violation was with in the first part of the pasuk. Why do you need the achoto in the latter part of the pasuk? So he says, that comes to teach you lechalek. That extra word achoto is what teaches you it. So now what are the chachamim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, do with the achoto de seifa lomali? The chayvo al achoto bat aviv u bat imo, to teach you that you're chayav for a sister who is both a sister through your mother and your father. You might remember this from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It also appears in the Gemara in Kretot and other places, which is, why is it necessary to tell you about a sister that is a sister both through the mother and the father? The pasuk says that if he sleeps with achoto bat aviv u bat imo, whether it's a sister through the father or a sister through the mother, which means it's a half-sister. Well, if you're chayav for a half-sister, both sides, meaning for the mother or the father, then certainly it's a koshkin, it's a kavachomer, that you be chayav for a sister who is a sister through both the father and the mother, a full-fledged sister. Yet the Torah still mentions achoto anyway. Despite that fact it mentions it, lomali, why would you do that? To teach you, she'enon shim min adin, that you do not punish through a kavachomer. So now, here you can read Momar, it means it teaches you. This is the source for the din of Ein Onshin Min HaDin. Olomar is that this is a result of that principle of Ein Onshin Min HaDin, is that you need a separate limud. Even though technically you could have learned the Kal V'chomer, and since you could have learned the Kal V'chomer, why do you need to tell me about Achoto, who's his full-fledged sister? Because Ein Onshin Min HaDin, we don't allow punishments to be given through a Kal V'chomer. The reason being is that a Kal V'chomer is a logical argument. When it comes to other types of limudim, most of them are through a mesora. And since you have a mesora about it, you can rely on that to punish someone for it. On the other hand, when it comes to a kal v'chomer, it's a logical argument, and we always are suspect that there might be some way to undermine that logical argument. So we don't want to rely on human intellect or that logic of the kal v'chomer to punish someone. And we'll see as well that you don't in mazirin min adin. The same thing comes to with azarot as well. But that's because we don't want to leave it up to a kal v'chomer. And therefore, we don't punish through a kal v'chomer. And the Torah goes out of its way here to write achoto, a full-fledged sister, to teach you, either to teach you that, or Because that is the din, that's why it had to teach you achoto. Now, v'idach, what about Rabbi Yitzchak? Where does he have this enun shimin adin? Where does he deal with achoto that is a full-fledged sister? So, ibay deima, gamar onish mazhara. He learns out the punishment from the azhara, which is that also by the warning about a sister, you have the same thing, which is ervat achotcha bat avicha ubat imecha. So again, half-sister, Maledet bayit or maledet chutz, lo tegarve ervatan. Ervat bat eshet avicha, maledet avicha, achotcha hi, lo tegale ervata. So there, the pasuk also repeats achotcha to teach you that achotcha from a full-fledged sister is restricted. So by azhara, we also have this thing, ein mazirin min adin, and therefore the Torah specified achotcha there as well. Over here, you don't need to specify achotcha according to Rabbi Yitzchak, because already by the azhara, it delineated for you that we see there's no difference between a half-sister and a full-sister. So once it already established the facts on the ground by the azhara, then you can also apply that to the onesh. And even though generally we have a principle of ein mazirin min adin, here we have a mesora, gzeir shava. It's not a logical argument like of kavah chomer, and therefore we don't have the problem of ein mazirin min adin. That's one way to deal with it. Or the other way to deal with it is that the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvot, says that whenever the onesh is explicit in the pasuk, then we don't invoke the principle of ein mazirin min adin, because once you know there's an onesh there, there must be an azhara somewhere, and that azhara can be learned even through a kal v'chomer. V'ibaytema, another way is, nafgalei me'achoto d'resha. He learns out the achoto d'resha, which is v'ish, asher yikach et achoto bat aviv ubat imo. You could have just written, ish asher yikach bat aviv ubat imo. Why do you need the word achoto? So the achoto in the beginning is also extraneous. So now he has an additional achoto, which you can use now to teach us about enon shin min adin. So that's the way that you could do it, either through onesh mazhara or achoto d'resha. V'idach, what did Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva do with the achoto of the resha? V'bayle lechalek karet lemifateim ulesach. They need it for the psukim, parsha kitisa, that deal with the restrictions against making the shemen hamishka and anointing oneself with the shemen hamishka, which is that there are two lavin over there, but only one karet. So here you have a problem that there's a restriction against making the Shemen HaMishka, and there's also a restriction against anointing oneself with the Shemen HaMishka that Moshe made. It says there separately, don't do this, and don't do this. Al basar adam lo yisach, don't anoint it on anyone. Ubamat kunto lo tasil kamo, and don't make the same ingredients, don't make the same recipe. But then when it comes to the karet, it says, ish asher yirkach kamo, v'asher yiten mi menu. A person who makes it or anoints himself with it is chayav karet. So over there you have two lavin, but a single karet, which is that the Torah specifies that you're not allowed to do either of them. But when it comes to the karet, it puts them together and says anybody who does either one of these is chayav karet. How do we know that there's a separate karet for each one of them? Because the Torah only specifies one karet between them, that means if you violated both of them, you'd only be chayav one karet, or in essence, lechalek. How do we know to split them up? So the Chachamim say that the word achoto over here is extraneous. Then, einu l'inyan kan, if you don't use it here, it's neu l'inyan acher. Then we use it for something else. It's not relevant anymore, because you already had the achoto to say, but to teach you lechalek by the kretot of erva, so now use it for the karet of the shemen avishka. And it teaches you there also, lechalek, to say that if you violate both of them, you're going to be chayav twice. One for each of them, you're going to be chayav. So now, v'idach, what does Rabbi Yitzchak do? How does he separate between the karet, the mitfateim, and the sach of Shemen Mishka? He holds, Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Ushaya. He holds up their principle, the Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Ushaya. Kol makom shata motzeh shnei lavim, v'karet echad, chalukin hein lekurban. Whenever it comes to a situation in which you find two lavin, two azharot, and one karet, the lavin or the azharot being separate is enough to delineate them separately and lechalek. So that is the end of this. Technically, we're going to see another version of it in a second, but as Rashi points out over here, Rabbi Yitzchak, based on this, now actually came up with a new way to be mechalek. The new way to be mechalek is if you have separate azharot, separate lavin, even though you have a single karet for all of them, they're considered to be separate. You don't need anything more. L'chalekotam. If that's the case, then if we go back to the question about Arayot for Rabbi Yitzchak, you don't need to use the Pasuk, El Isha B'nidat Tumata. You don't need that anymore because you can use the principle that we just established is the Chalek. So now, if we go through each of the positions, let's go through the Rabbanon's position and Rabbi Yitzchak's position. For the Rabbanon, Karet is gets Malkot. Both according to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, you get Malkot, so there's nothing to learn about that. With regards to the Chalek, Arayot, when you have Gufim Mechulakim, when you have separate women that you have violations with in a single Helem, in single forgetting, how do I know that you had multiple punishments there? That's from Elisha B'Nidat Tumata. You learn that out by the Nidat. The extra Isha, those are your Chayav on Kol Isha B'Isha. How do I know that if a single woman has multiple Isurim associated with her, which is called Guf Echad B'Shemot Mechulakim? One goof, but multiple violations, like Achoto, Achot Aviv, Achot Imo, that we learn out from the Karet of Achoto. Why did the Torah specify Karet by Achoto? To tell you that every violation is subject to a Karet. Einon Shimin Adin, how do I know that you can't use the Kavachomer? Or, because Einon Shimin Adin, what do I need? Achoto de Seifa. That was the Achoto that they quoted. Achoto de Reisho, that teaches us that by Mifateim, Emirakeach, the Shemin Mishcha, that you get two kretot, and not one karet, even though it's only mentioned once. Then, we're going to see in a second that the nidah is tamaya rak me'ervata, that the nidah is only tamaya if she sees an issue of blood from the mikor and through her vaginal canal. How do we know that? We learned that from out, isha sheishkav isha dava. So that is the limud of the chachamim of the rabbonon. Now, according to Rashi, these are the limudim of Rabbi Yitzchak. Karet Achoto comes to teach you karet and no malkot. He uses the karet of Achoto to teach you that. Then, how do we know by arayot to then split between them and to say that each of the arayot gets you a separate violation with their gufim uchulakim? That's the principle of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Hoshaya, who say every lav gives you a separate karet. So now that's his limud. He'll learn that for the chalek arayot. How do I know then that Achoto, Achot Aviv, Achot Imo, where there's guf echad, and you have multiple violations at your chayav, that I learn out from the Achoto, the Seifa. What about Enon Shimin Adin? How do I get a full-fledged sister in here? So we saw two possible ways that Rabbi Yitzchak dealt with that. Either he learns the Onesh Me'az Hara, he learns out the fact that just like by the warning, the full-fledged sister is included, so too by the Onesh, or Achoto de Reisha was the other suggestion of the Gemara. The first Achoto they used. Ah, the Chalei Karet for Mifateim and for Sach. How do I know there's two Karetot? That's because of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Hoshaya. You have two Lavin and one Karet, they're considered to be separate. And then for Nidah, you have the same Limud as the Chachamim. So in that way, Rashi now claims that Rabbi Yitzchak with this new Limud of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Hoshaya can go back and then deal with all of his issues. And he doesn't need Elisha B'Nidat Tumata at all. He doesn't have any limud from that at all because he now has that from Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Although you should know that the Ritva disagrees with this position of Rashi, and Baalei Tosfot already point this out, you still need Elisha B'Nidat Tumata to teach you that Gufim Mechulakim create separate violations even under the same shame. So you'll need Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shaya to teach you that Gufim Mechulakim and Shemot Mechulakim, that you're Chayav. In a case where you have Gufim Mechulakim and not Shemot Mechulakim, then you would use Velisha B'Nidat Tumata. And in a case where you have Guf Echad and Shemot Mechulakim, that you learn out from Achoto the Seifa. Although the Baalei Tosfot do suggest that they think Rashi's interpretation is better. But then the Gemara says something, and Rashi reads it. The Bach takes this out of the Girsa. But Rashi says, V'ibaitema, losavala ki Rabbi Elazar. He doesn't hold of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Hoshaya. So the Bach takes that little piece, losavala ki Rabbi Elazar, and just writes it as an ibaitema, this alternative. But in essence, this alternative means that he doesn't have to subscribe to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Hoshaya. If that's the case, v'nafkale, how does he learn it out? Me'ish asher yishkav Edisha Dava, that a man who sleeps with a woman who's Tmeya, Gilad Tervatayt Mikorahira, Vigidat Makor, the Merv Nichritush Neem Mikervamam. Over there is an extraneous karet. Why do you need that extra karet? Well, we already have the way to be Mechalek the Kretot by Erva, so now that's extraneous. Emanuel Indian Lekan, Neol Indian Acher. If we don't need it by Rayot, use it for Shemin HaMishka. To teach you by the Sach, Shemin HaMishka, and the Mifatim. Shemin HaMishka, that you be chayav shtei kretot, v'idach, and what do the chachamim do with that pasuk? How mi bayulei the Rabbi Yochanan? They need to have Rabbi Yochanan. Damar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Minayin she'ein ishat me'ah she'itzi mitmatveh derech ervata. How do we know that when a woman has an issue of blood that comes from the uterus, that she's only tmeyah when it exits through the vaginal canal? Shnemar v'isha she'ishkavet isha dava v'gilat ervata. So there you see, dava is connected to ervata. So therefore, only an issue of blood that exits through the erva lameich and isha tmeyah she'itzi matveh derech ervata. It has to come out through that area in order to be considered tmeyah. That means if she has some rupture, or so it's not a puncture, and the dam of the mikor of the uterus exits her, not through the vaginal canal, but some other way, that dam would not make her in tmeyah nida, and that dam itself would not be in tmeyah nida. In order to be in tmeyah nida, you need two things. You actually have blood that issues from the mikor, and that blood that goes through the erva, through the vaginal canal. So those are two things. And that way you can have two turim, which is that blood that comes through the vaginal canal that is not from the uterus, that's not considered to be dam nida. Even though it's coming through the vaginal canal, it has to start from the mikor. And also, even if you have dam mikor that's coming from the uterus, if it doesn't exit through the vaginal canal, it's also not considered to be dam nida. And that's how you can have issues of blood that aren't necessarily dam nida, as well as the fact that there are certain colors of dam, or certain issues of dam, where they're not considered to be dam from the mikor, or dam that is considered to be dam nida. So you see from this that not all blood that is issued forth is considered to be dam nida. And for that we have the piskei halacha. When a woman has an issue, it's not always an issue of dam nida. It could be a dam that is just not dam nida, or designated as dam nida. Now according to this version of Rabbi Yitzchak, then the karet of achoto teaches you that you get karet and not malkot. L'chalek v'arayot, when you have separate gufin, mechulakin, how do I know that each one of the arayot gets a punishment? Here he's not holding like Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shaya, so here he'll need v'lisha v'nidat tumata. He'll need that pasuk to teach you it, that every isha is considered to be separate, similar to what the chachamim do. L'chalek, between achoto, achotavim, achotimo, with the same woman, we will use achoto, the seifa, for the same way we said before the Rabbi Yitzchak. Inon Shimon Adin, again, you'll learn out either Onesh Mazara or Achoto de Reisha. And then, L'chalek, Bekaret, by Mifatei Mitzach, you'll learn out of Isha Sheishkavet Isha Dava. And that you'll learn out of that Pasuk. Although that does leave Rabbi Yitzchak without this limud of Rabbi Yochanan, those that suggest that he learns it out from two parts of the Pasuk, that the Chiyub Karet is what teaches you about the Chiluk over here, whereas the wording in the Pasuk teaches you about the fact that it must emanate from the Makom Erba. And so maybe Rabbi Yitzchak would be able to use the Pasuk for both Limudim in that instance. So there are two versions of Rabbi Yitzchak, and we have the Chachamim. I'll send you out a chart that I put together to be able to see this, what they do with all of these to get their Limudim. It's all precipitated by Rabbi Yitzchak's Limud, that when it says Karet Bachoto, it means Karet and not Malkot. And then we wanted to know, what do the Chachamim, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, do with that? Once we established that they use that to be mechalek, the kretot of erva, then we went down this whole path of, well, where does Rabbi Yitzchak learn it? If he learns it from there, then what does Chachamim do with that puzzle? Well, if they do that with that puzzle, where does he learn that? Went back and forth to get all these limudim from the different psukim, where we saw they were extraneous words, including Elisha, Bididat, Tumata, where the word Isha was extraneous. Karet Achoto in general is extraneous because it says Karet by all the arayot. We saw the Achoto by Achoto Bat Avivu Batimo of the Reisha that was extraneous, and the one of the Seifa, Erbat Achoto Gila Avuna Isa, that's also extraneous. And then we saw also V'isha Sheishkavet Isha Dava, there we also saw that it was extraneous. And from that we got all of the Mudim that we just went through for Rabbi Yitzchak versus the Rabbonon. Right now, the Gemara moves on. V'tamei Shachalat HaKodesh. Our Mishnah enumerated individuals who get Malkot. The list in the Mishnah is not a comprehensive or fully extensive or exclusive list of all things that get Malkot. So now you have to explain to us why they're found in the Mishnah. That Rashi already tried to justify on the Mishnah that they're only Malkot that are associated with Kretot, which led us to the discussion before about do you get Malkot for Chiyub Kretot. The other ones Rashi notes over there are Lavin that are not obvious. Punishments that you get Malkot for which are not a given, either because they come from Limudim, or because they're associated with the limudim that we bring down. So Rashi on the Mishnah gave explanations for each of the items that's found in the Mishnah. One of those items is v'tamei shachalat hakodesh. A tamei who eats kodesh. Bishlama habad migdash tamei someone who enters into the Mikdash Tamei, I know that they're going to get punished, and I also know there's an Azara. K'tiv Onesh, V'tiv Azara. There's a punishment there, and there's a warning. Onesh Tichtiv, the punishment is, at Mishkan Hashem Timei, V'nichrita. He defiled the Mishkan Hashem, and therefore he's going to get a punishment of Karet. That's found in Parshat Chukat, with regards to someone who is Tamei, Tumata Meit. It says, Kol Anogdeya B'mei B'nefesh Adam Asher Yamut V'lo Yitzchata, and Mishkan Hashem Timei V'nichrita. He doesn't become Tor. And he goes into the Mikdash, he's mitamei the Mikdash, and he gets karet. Nechata nevashayi mik Yisrael, ki mei nida lo zorak alav, he didn't get tahor, tamei yeo tumatobo, and therefore he's tamei. Azara, how do we know that you're not allowed to do that? That's from the Pasuk in Parshat Vayikra. Bo yitamu et machanehem, that they may not defile their machanot. So over there you see that there is a restriction against going bituma into the Mikdash. Ella, Tamei she'achalat HaKodesh, which is one of the items that's enumerated here, Bishlama Onesh K'tiv, we have a punishment for that, which is, HaNefesh, Asher Tuchal Basar Mizevach HaShlamim Asher LaHashem, V'tumato Alav, V'nichrita. If a person eats from something that is Kodesh, while the Tumah is on their goof, then they will be subject to a punishment of Karet. So here we have a definition of the punishment, that is found in Parshat Tzav. Nefesh asher tuchal basar mizevach shlamim asher LaHashem v'tumato alav v'nichrita nefesh me'ameha. Ela azara minayin. Where is the warning not to engage in that activity? And you can learn it out of the pasuk of lo yochal min hakodeshim, which is found in Vayikra Chavbet, pasuk Vav, because there it's clearly speaking about Shuma, because there it says, ad ha'erev, that you're tamei until the erev. And the only thing that clears up with Harev Shemesh is permission to eat truma. It doesn't give you permission to eat kodoshim, because you might need a korban in order to be tahor. So that lo yochal min hakodeshim must be speaking about truma. So now here's the machlok of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to have now a similar thing between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as we did Rabbi Yitzchak and the Rabbanan, which is, what do they do with the psukim? So Reish Lakish omer, b'chol kodesh lo tiga. The pasuk says in Parshat Tazriah, u'shloshim yom, Ushloshid Yamim Teshev Ibnei Tara, Bechol Kodesh Lotiga, Velamigdash Lotavo Ad Melot Yamei Tara. So there, she may not enter into the Migdash, as well as the fact Bechol Kodesh Lotiga, she may not touch any Kodesh. So he learns from that, that there is a restriction against eating Kodshim while you are Tamei. Of course, you have to ask the question, that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Bechol Kodesh Lotiga, don't touch it. Well, don't touch it doesn't mean don't eat it. So that's Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Tani Bardala, Acha Tumato, Tumato. It's a Gzeira Shava. Tevalcha, it says over here, by the punishment, it says, V'nefesh Asher Tuchal Basar Mizevach Shalim, Asher LaHashem, V'tumato Alav, that's one of the Tumatos, V'nechrata Nefesh Ehi Me'ameh. So that's someone who eats Kodashim when they have Tumata Guf, there it says Tumato Alav. In Parshat Chukat, where it tells you about the punishment for someone who is Tamei and enters the Mikdash, it says, Kol Anogeh B'meit B'Nefesh Adam, Asher Yamut V'lo Yitchata, Mishkan Hashem Timei V'Nichrita Nefesh Ahi Mi'Yisrael, Timei Nidat Lo Zorak Alav, Tamei Yeh, Od Tumato Bo. So you see the word Tumato. So those Tumato, V'Nichrita, Tiv Hatam, Tamei Yeh, Od Tumato Bo, there's the Gzera Shava, Malahalan Onesh Vazara, Afkan Onesh Vazara. Just like over there, you have an Onesh Nazara. If you are Tamei and enter the Mikdash, we have a punishment of Karet, and we have an azara for that. So to over here, where you have a punishment for someone who eats basar kodeshim while they have tumata guf, we have a punishment of karet, and we have a gzir shava tumato to teach us, just like by entering the mikdash, there's an azara, so to over here, there is an azara. So now the Gemara says, Vishlam Reish Lakish lo amar ki Rabbi Yochanan. I understand why Reish Lakish didn't subscribe to Rabbi Yochanan's position, gzir shava lo gamir. He didn't learn this gzir shava. He didn't have a misora for this Gezeirah Shava. El Rabbi Yochanan, my time, Alo Amar Reish Lakish. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold like Reish Lakish? It's an easy answer. He had the Gezeirah Shava, that's why he did it. Gemara's question is more along the lines that this Gezeirah Shava is used for other things. Why does he use the Gezeirah Shava for this in particular, where he could have used it for other items, and then use the limit of Reish Lakish? Because he'll say, Amalachahu Asara the Truma. That the whole Kodesh Lotiga is not a warning about Kodashim, it's a warning about Truma. That one may not, when they're Tamei, touch Truma Tehora. Right, so I just want to stop for a second and just take a little note over here. that here you have a machlok in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan brings a Gzeira Shava, and the Gemara says Reish Lakish didn't learn that Gzeira Shava. We know that Gzeira Shava comes through a Misora, that you have to have a Misora from your Rebbe in order to have a Gzeira Shava. Who was Reish Lakish's Rebbe? Rabbi Yochanan. That's the story in the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Yochanan convinces Reish Lakish to do tshuva. He says, if you do tshuva, you can marry my sister, my beautiful sister. And Reish Lakish agrees to do that, marries Rabbi Yochanan's sister, and then he becomes the star pupil and eventually a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Yochanan. So how could it be that Reish Lakish doesn't have a Mesora that Rabbi Yochanan does have? He is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He should have had that Gzeir Shavit. He should have had the same Mesora. So over there, the Gemara discusses on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph the machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and then how Reish Lakish gets offended by something that Rabbi Yochanan says to him, and Rabbi Yochanan gets offended by him, and then he looks at him, and he ends up dying, and then Rabbi Yochanan can never get a replacement chavrusa, and he dies out of anguish that he lost Reish Lakish. But the incident over there, Reish Lakish makes a statement. He says, over there they called me a Rebbe, and over here they called me a Rebbe. What did it pay? Because over there, Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, oh, you would know about this type of stuff because you were involved in it. It's something about a dagger. It's something about something that it's used by robbers or thieves. So he says to Reish Lakish, ah, you would know about that anyway. So he took offense to that because he says, oh, now they call me a Rebbe, and before they call me a Rebbe. What Rashi says is, I used to be the head of the robbers, and now I'm the head of the Chachamim. But meantime, when I'm the head of the Chachamim, they still call me a robber. That's the way Rashi reads it. That Rabbi means head of robbers, and Rabbi means now I'm in the Beit Midrash. The Balei Tosafot disagree over there, and say, based on the Rabbeinu Tam, that it doesn't make sense to use the term Rabbi, and he says, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rosh Hashlokish mitchila yadar harbe. Reish Lakish was actually a very learned Talmud Chacham. Elisha Parak Ola Torah. He left the Torah. He was Chozer B'Sheila, as they say today. V'naseh Am Haaretz. And he became Am Haaretz. V'asak B'Listiot. And he got involved in marauding. And then Rabbi Yochanan convinces his to come back and to do tshuva. What he says now is, Reish Lakish says, I was called a Rebbe before I became a robber. And now I'm called a Rebbe. What does it make a difference? Because you see here that you still call me based on the theft and not on my original status as being a Rebbe. That you have now made it part and parcel of my status, this idea that you're a robber. But what Tosafot says is that Reish Lakish learned before he ever met Rabbi Yochanan. That is very much supported by our Gemara over here, because it says over here, Gzeira Shava lo gamir. He didn't learn Gzeira Shava. Well, how did Reish Lakish not learn Gzeira Shava from Rabbi Yochanan, who's his Rebbe? The answer is that Reish Lakish learned before he went out to Listiot, and he was a Talmud Chacham beforehand. So he had another Mesora independent of Rabbi Yochanan. And again, that supporter of Tosafot and Bava Metzia, Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, who suggests that is the meaning of the term Rabbi over there. That meant he learned before and learned afterwards. Right now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says that you use B'chol Godesh Hashed Lo Tiga to teach you an Isur Nazara, a restriction against touching Truma. So now, Gemara says, Reish Lakish, Azara L'Truma Minale. Where does Reish Lakish know the fact that you can't touch Truma, or you make Truma Tmeya? Nafkale mi ish, mizera aron v'tzuru tzarua ozav. He learns out from this pasuk, which is ish, mizera aron v'tzarua ozav, b'kodoshim lo yuchal, ad asher yitar, v'nogeya b'chol tmei nefesh, o ish asher tetzei mimenu shekva zera, so on and so forth, lo yuchal min ha'kodoshim. So over here he says that's a restriction against touching Truma. How does he know it's speaking about Truma? It says Bakodoshim there. It seems to be talking about Kodesh and not Truma. The answer is, Ezu Davar Shu Shaveh B'Zaro Shel Aron. What is something that every descendant of Aron has a right to? Avi Omer, Zo Truma. That is Truma. So now, in terms of Kodoshim and Korbanot, it's only the Zichre Kuna, it's only the males of the Kohanim that eat from the Kodoshim, from the Korbanot. There are certain aspects of Kodshim Kalim that are eaten by the whole family of the Kohanim. That means including the Zecharim and the women. That's the Chazev Shok that they get from the Shlamim. There they eat it along with their wives and their daughters, meaning that the women are allowed to eat as well. The other thing that the Kohanim share with their daughters and their wives, where the women are participants, is Truma. Other things that Matnot Kuna don't have Kedusha to them. So for instance, the Lechayim and the Kebah, those matnot kunah, they have no kedusha to them, so there's nothing to speak about in terms of tumah. The areas that you have tumah are by kodeshim and by truma. So he says, where is there a place where all descendants of Aaron eat from something? Kodashim, it's clearly not, because that's only the Zecharim. It is by Trumah, Trumah is that way, but also by the Chazen Shok, the gifts of the Shlamim, they can also eat. The answer to that is that if a woman gets married and does not have children, a Bat Kohen that gets married and doesn't have children returns to her father's house. When she returns to her father's house, she's permitted to eat Trumah. She's not permitted to eat Chazev Shok. She loses out on Chazev Shok when she's married in Israel, even though she returns without children. So what is the only item that all descendants of Kohanim, assuming she hasn't married Israel and had children, that they can eat? Truma. So that's the common denominator. That's what it says. Ish ish mizera aron. And what is common to all zera aron? Truma. So that's why he says that pasuk, even though it says Kodashim, is speaking about Truma. So then, v'idach, what does Rabbi Yochanan do that? Ha'ul achila v'alenigia. That's because that pasuk says, v'kodashim lo yochal. Rabbi Yochanan agrees it's speaking about Truma because of ish ish mizera aron, but he says it says, v'kodashim lo yochal, that you may not eat. So he learns from that a restriction against eating Trumah when you are Tameh. A Kohen who's Tameh, who consumes Trumah, or a woman who is Tameh and eats Trumah, they'll be in violation of B'Kodoshim Lo Yochal. Ah, touching Trumah when you are Tameh? That comes from B'Chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. So Rabbi Yochanan has a separate restriction for touching Trumah, as well as eating Trumah. The Gemara does not address how Reish Lakish deals with the difference between Achila and Igiya B'Truma. He uses B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga to teach you about a Tamei cannot eat Kodesh. And then when it comes to Igiya Truma, he learns it out of Ish Ish Mizera Aron. But then Achila Truma, that's what Rabbi Yochanan uses that pasuk for. We never get any expression of what Reish Lakish says. And so you have to assume that Reish Lakish learns out Ish Ish Mizera Aron, B'Kodeshim Lo Yochal, is both the fact that you may not eat it, as well as lotiga, that you may not touch it, because the Gemara never gives us a separate restriction for nigiya and achila for Reish Lakish. I'm just noting that, because the Gemara never explains that part of it. Now the Gemara asks, for Reish Lakish, hai b'kol kodesh lotiga lahachi hudato? That's what he uses it for, to teach you that someone who is tamei tumat guf may not eat kodesh? That's his azara. How mi baile le tamei shenagaba kodesh? You need that for someone who touches kodesh. A tamei who touches kodesh, that he is in violation of a lav. How do you know that? Ditmar. Tamei shenagaba kodesh. Tamei who touches, person who's got tumat guf and touches kodesh, and by that ruins the kodesh. Reish Lakish omer loke, he gets malkot because of b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Rabbi Yochanan amar ain't a loke. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get malkot. Reish Lakish omer loke b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Rabbi Yochanan amar ain't loke. How was hara the chumahu da ata? Rabbi Yochanan says, what do you mean? You don't get malkot for that. That we use to teach you that you may not touch truma. So now, Rabbi Yochanan says, B'chol kodesh lo tiga teaches you that you may not touch truma. Reish Lakish is using that to teach you you may not touch kodesh when you're tameh. But Reish Lakish just taught us that B'chol kodesh lo tiga was the restriction against tameh shachal kodesh. So how does he learn both of them from that? So when it says, tameh shenaga b'kodesh midafkei rachmanah b'lashon negi'ah. The reason that he says that is because of the word usage over there. It says, b'chol kodesh lo tiga. It really means to tell you, b'chol kodesh lo tochal. You may not eat any of the kodesh. Why did he use the word tiga? To teach you two things. First of all, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, you may not eat kodesh when you have tumat guf. But also, tiga, you may not touch kodesh when you are tameh, and you'll be in violation of a lav. So he learns it out of the word tiga, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, the tiga, instead of achila, teaches you that you may not touch it as well. So Reish Lakish learns both things from B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. Both you may not touch Kodesh, as well as the fact that you may not eat Kodesh when you're Tamei Tumata Guf. Now what's interesting from this, and the Baalei Tosfot already point this out, is Rabbi Yochanan has a lav, a restriction against you touching Truma. He says, how do you know that if you touch Truma when you are Tamei that you are in violation? It says B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. He argues that Reish Lakish says, not talking about speaking about Kodeshim there, it's speaking about Truma. Yeah, just now we brought the argument between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. If you touch Kodesh, Rabbi Yochanan says you're not in any violation. That means that Rabbi Yochanan is making Truma more chamor than Kodesh. He says when you touch Truma, you're in violation of a lav. You touch Kodesh, not in violation of a lav. How could that be? So Tosafot suggests that either it's not talking about Negiah, but rather the fact that you are posel Truma. It's just teaching you that the Truma of a woman who's a yoledet after she is a tefillat yom aroch, she goes to the mikveh after those first 7 days, that she makes truma psula until the Harem Shemesh, till the sun sets, at the end of the total 40 days, the 33 days later. So those would suggest that there is no malkot here for negiat truma, just teaching about the din of negiat truma, that it is posel the truma, and that way it would even it out and say that you don't get malkot for touching truma when you're tamei, you don't get malkot for touching kodeshim when you are tamei. But then Tosfot says, how does he know, Rabbi Yochanan, that pasuk is talking about truma, when it says b'chol kodesh? So Tosfot says, because at the end of the pasuk says, ha'jimelot yimei tahara, which means that when the sun sets, at the end of that period, she will be tahara. Now that's true for truma, because that's considered to be Harav Shemesh. But for kodeshim, that would not be the case until she brings her korban yoledet. And so that means that the pasuk must be speaking about truma, and not about kodeshim. Or, because we already learned out Kodeshim from the Gzer Shava of Tumato, Tumato, so then the only thing to use this pasuk for is Truma. For that reason, Tosafot suggests that Truma, first of all, would not get you Malkot, because otherwise that would make it uneven with Kodeshim, or more Chamor than Kodeshim. Number two is, he tells you why it's dealing with Truma, even though it uses the term Kodesh, which Reish Lakish reads simply as Mim B'chol Kodesh Lotigai, referring to Kodeshim. On the other hand, the Ritva suggests over here that it actually is logical, because Truma is a lighter form of Kiddusha. And so what we're afraid of is that people will be less careful about Truma. So we say about Truma, don't touch it. If you touch it when you're Tameh, you're going to make it Tameh, you're in violation of Alav. Because if a person comes to touch Truma, in all likelihood they might eat the Truma because they think it's a lighter Isur. But Kodeshim, where people, what Gemara calls Bedile Mine, they separate themselves from it. Over there, we don't need a restriction against Nigiyah, because even if you come into contact with it, you're not going to eat it because of the Chumrah of the Kodesh. So for that reason, he says it might be logical that Rabbi Yochanan has a Isur Nigiyah by Truma, and not by Kodeshim, even though Kodeshim are more Chamor. It's similar to the way that the Gemara in Beitza expresses the restriction of Muksa. How is it that we possibly, according to Rabbi, would have Muksa on Yom Tov, and no Muksa on Shabbat? Even Shabbat is more chamor than Yom Tov. Why would you have an Isur Muksa on Yom Tov? The answer is because the violation of Mocha on Yom Tov is much lighter. So people take it in an easier way. Therefore, we put in Muksa to make sure people don't violate anything on Yom Tov. On Shabbat, which is more chamor, we don't need Muksa. It's exactly how the Gemara expresses it by Muksa for Rabbi's position. Why you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbat, Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda in Yom Tov or in Beitza. So the similar idea over here with Rabbi Yochanan, that the thing that is more kal, you need more restriction associated with it. Right now, the Gemara continues, it says, Bakate l'achi udata, again, it questions Reish Lakish's position that he uses b'chol kodesh lo tiga, to teach you now both not to eat kodeshim when you are tamei, as well as not to touch kodeshim when you are tamei. Ha'omi ba'ile l'tamei shachal basar kodesh lifnei zrikat tamim. You need to teach you that a person who is tamei, who eats basar kodesh, before Zrikat Adam, he's also restricted. Itmar, Tameisha Chal Basar Kodesh Lifnei Zrikat Adamim. Someone who eats Basar Kodesh before the Dam was put on the Mizbeach. Reish Lakish Omer Lokeh. Reish Lakish says you get Malkot. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Eino Lokeh. You don't get Malkot. Reish Lakish Omer Lokeh B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. Again, he's using the same Pasuk. Lo Shna Lifnei Zrika. Lo Shna L'Acharei Zrika. Doesn't matter whether it's before or after Zrikat Adam. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Eino Lokeh. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get Malkot. Rabbi Yochanan is l'shitato, the Gemara, tumato, tumato. He learned this restriction out of tumato, but tumato. V'chi k'tiv tumato, la'zarachar zrikato, hu d'chtiv. Since he learns the azhara against a tamei consuming kodesh from this gezeirah shavah of tumato, tumato, and the case of tumato has to be after zrikat adam, because the pasuk that he learns it from is, בנפש אשר תוכל בשר מזבח שלמים אשר לשם, ותשומתו עליו, ונכרתה הנפש היא מהמאה. That תשומתו learns over the parashat Chukat by תשומתו of entering the Mikdash. And we said, oh, just like there's a punishment here and there, so too there's an azhara. That pasuk in parashat Tzav, that says that if you eat me basar zebach shalmim, when you have תשומתו עליו, that you're chayav karet, that is in the context of a pasuk that says, kol tohor yachol kodesh. That a Tohor may eat the Kodesh. But when the only time a Tohor is allowed to eat Kodesh, that's after Zrikat Adamim. Right there, the Pasuk says, and if you're Tamei and eat it, then you're in violation and you are Chayav Karei. In juxtaposition or in contrast to the Tohor that's eating, the Tamei is Chayav. Well, the Tohor can only eat after Zrikat Adamim. So that means that the Tameh here that you're saying is Chayav is also only after Srikat HaDamim. And if it's after Srikat HaDamim, and that's the Gzeir Shoveh that you use to learn the Azhara, that means that the Azhara is only relevant after Srikat HaDamim. And the Rabbeinu Kanano just adds on top of what was explained here, that you have this additional reason, which is that it's someone who is only restricted in eating the Kodeshim because he's Tameh. Before Srikat HaDamim, you have a separate restriction, which is the fact that it's not mutar to eat the Kodeshim yet, because it's before Srikat HaDamim. You're not just in violation of eating it bitumah, you're in violation of eating it before there was Srikat HaDam. That's Rabbi Yochanan's limud. Reish Lakish says that's not the source for the fact that a person who is Tameh Tumat Guf can't eat Kodesh. His source is B'chol Kodesh Lo Tigah. That's a third thing now that Reish Lakish is learning B'chol Kodesh Lo Tigah. He learns, number one, you may not touch Kodeshim when you're Tameh, Lokeh. You may not eat Kodeshim when you are Tameh, Lokeh. You may not eat Kodeshim when you're Tameh before Srikat HaDamim. Now he learns three things from the same Pasuk. How does he do that? That's what the Gemara wants to know. The answer is, Hayi Mikol Kodesh Nafko. He learns it out of the word Kol. So now, Reish Lakish learns three things from the Pasuk, but from different parts of the Pasuk. Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah teaches you Bechol. No matter where we are in the cycle of the Korban, whether it's before Srikat HaDamim or after Srikat HaDamim, if you are Tameh Tumat HaGuf, you may not eat the Kodeshim. So that means, if you are Tameh Tumat HaGuf, you are Tameh, you may not eat the Kodeshim before Srikat HaDamim and after Srikat HaDamim. How do I know that? Bechol. It says no matter what. Bechol L'Kodesh Lo Tigah. And that means, that's the law that Reish Lakish things teach you about not eating Kodeshim. And there it says Bechol. Doesn't matter whether it's before or after. But Reish Lakish sees from the word Bechol that you can imply it both to Basar Lifnei Srikat HaDamim and Basar Achar Srikat HaDamim. Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah. It really means Lo Tochal. Don't eat it. So then why does it say Lo Tigah? To teach you also that Negiyah B'Kodesh when you're Tameh is Chayav. So Reish Lakish learns three things out of Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah. Number one is an Isur against touching Kodesh from the word Tigah. Another thing is a restriction against eating Kodesh when you have Tameh Tumat HaGuf. That's both before Srikat HaDamim and after Srikat HaDamim because it expresses it is as Bechol. But the Bechol to teach you that in all situations you will be Chayav. Tanya Kamata de Reish Lakish. We have a brayta that's supportive of Reish Lakish's view over here. Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah, Azara Lo Chel. It's coming to teach you you may not eat Kodeshim. That's what Reish Lakish said it was about. Reish Yochanan says it's talking about not touching Truma. Reish Lakish said it's about Kodesh Lo Tigah. It teaches you don't eat Kodeshim when you have Tameh Tumat HaGuf. That's what this brayta says. Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah, Azara Lo Chel. Atalmer Azara Lo Chel, Oinu Azara Lo Geya. How do you know it's talking about Achilah? Maybe it's talking about Negiyah. Tamalomar Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah, Vela Migdash Lo Tavo. Don't touch it, and don't enter into the Migdash. Mikish Kodesh Lo Migdash. It's telling you that Kodesh has Ekish Migdash. Ma Migdash Tamar Sheish Bo Netilat Nishama. So just like entering into the Migdash, when you enter the Migdash when you're Tameh, V'nichrita, you get Karet. Av Kol Damar Sheish Bo Netilat Nishama. I really should be Av Kol Kodesh. Is Davar Sheish Bo Netilat Nishama. Now, nobody thinks that when you touch Kodesh, when you're Tameh, that you're going to get Karet. Karet is only a punishment for when you ingest something, when you consume something. So that's what he says. V'im Nikiyah, Mika Netilat Nishama. We don't have a punishment by Nikiyah. At most you get for Nikiyah is Malkot, according to Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you may not get anything when you touch Kodesh, Bituma. But at most you're going to get is Malkot. So that can't be the parallel over here. Mika Nitilan Shemayla Bachila. Achila has that. So there is a juxtaposition or adjacency in the pasuk. Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah, Vela Mikdash Lo Tavo. That teaches you what you're punishable for in the Mikdash, entering there bitumah is Karet. So too, the Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah is punishable by Karet. Well, touching Kodeshim is not going to get you Karet. The only way you're going to be Chayav Karet is if you eat it. Be'achila. And that's how he knows that Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigah teaches you that there is an Azhara for eating Kodeshim bitumat haguf. Okay, we're going to stop here. Two lines from the bottom of Yudalad Amud Bet.